As the gun debate continues in Washington, people across the country are adding their voices. People in Washington today, of course, adamant about their constitutional right to own guns. But there are also school teachers in Utah who don't consider themselves gun rights advocates who are now wondering after Newtown if they should arm themselves to protect the children in their care. We'll be hearing from many of these voices in the coming days, but we want to start with Stephen Barton. He was traveling cross-country, happened to be in that movie theater in Aurora, Colorado in July when the mass shooting took place there. He was shot several times but survived. The preliminary hearing in that case is going on this week in Colorado. But then Steve Barton came back home to Southbury, Connecticut, the town right next to Newtown. Now he's become an activist for stricter gun laws. He's an outreach and policy associate for Mayors Against Illegal Guns. That's the group co-chaired by New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg. And Steve joins us from New York. Welcome.
Thank you, Robin.
Well, I mean, that's quite something. Did you feel like, you know, why is this happening? Why is this violence in such proximity to me twice?
You know, it's been a very unusual, I guess, 6 months for me and my family, but you know, in a way, I think it really just illustrates that none of us are immune to this gun violence. You know, many Americans either have been personally affected, have been injured, or know people who have been killed or injured by guns. So it's really an issue that affects so many people in this country. And I'm glad that we're having the discussion that we need to have about it now.
Yeah, we'll talk about Aurora. You were there for that midnight screening because you were on a cross-country bike trip, which sounded like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And then, of course, 12 people killed, dozen injured. How present for you is that shooting? Do you think about it?
I do. I mean, definitely every single day I think about it. But thankfully, you know, it doesn't dominate, you know, my life and my thinking in a way that's debilitating in any way. I mean, especially this week, obviously, with the preliminary hearing starting, it's been interesting to hear some of the details about this trial and kind of what led up to Holmes, you know, committing such a heinous crime. I don't think there will be a satisfactory explanation, but it's definitely interesting to hear about this stuff.
Well, interesting is one thing, but to hear the 911 calls as the shooting was going on and to hear about, you know, James Holmes' demeanor. Here you were, you know, shot in the neck, you had shrapnel, your face was cut up, you had a surgery, you had trouble with your left arm even recently, had to go on a breathing tube originally. What happens? Are you thrown back in that theater?
Definitely with the 911 call. I remember my friend immediately right after I'd been shot, he was on 911 with a dispatch yelling at her. You know, it definitely puts me back into that night in a way that simple recollection doesn't.
And then to hear that there was a mass shooting at an elementary school just a couple minutes from your house, I mean, we all were sick to the stomach about that, but for you, the proximity.
Yeah, and you know, I know people who work at that school specifically. And when, you know, the final reports came in that 20 kids and 6 teachers have been murdered, that is horrifying in its own right, you know, for anyone, no matter where they live. But for it to happen in a community that I know very well, it was very shocking.
Well, and you know, you're sensitive, obviously, to what these moments, I mean, we don't want to go there, but what they feel and sound like. I mean, you've written about how you can't still forget the screams in the theater, and you wrote in a piece of Newsday how you're thinking about how these kids, not only they were involved in this, but they heard their classmates shot and killed over the PA system. We forget about that the button was, I mean, just a horror. So, you know, this has propelled you. During the fall, you criticized both President Obama and then candidate Mitt Romney not talking about gun violence. You were very vocal about that. But do you think that this is really something different happening now, or do you think that this is all going to blow away?
I don't think it's going to blow away. The president and the vice president have said as much.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but politicians say that.
Of course, yeah. But, you know, not only is the public outcry greater than anything we've ever seen before, but, you know, the president went on national television and committed himself by creating this commission with Vice President Biden to finding solutions.
What do you think can happen? People who, as you know, are fighting in Washington for guns rights, they say that it's the mental health industry that needs to be tightened, that there needs to be better background checks. In fact, you note a statistic about members of the NRA who believe that.
About 74% of NRA gun owners support background checks for every gun sale. But I don't know if the NRA has recently changed its position, but they actually do not support extending background checks, criminal background checks, to private sales.
In other words, you're saying that the NRA, at least, maybe not its members, but the NRA, yeah, at least, is saying that they are blaming the mental health industry, but they are not interested in stronger background checks for private sales.
Exactly. And that's an issue we see repeatedly, is the NRA leadership is far more radical than its own members are. I mean, many NRA members who support common sense reform, but their own so-called leaders just obstruct it at every pass.
But as somebody who has been through this, do you have any sympathy for those we're hearing from? There's a woman in Texas who was in a mass shooting in the 90s. She'd left her personal gun in the car and, you know, when she reached for it, realized she had nothing to protect her parents with and wished she had. There's teachers in Utah speaking out. I heard one last night. She does not consider herself even a gun advocate, but she's thinking after Newtown, since it's legal in her state, she maybe even has a responsibility to get a gun and train so she can protect her kids. We're going to hear from some of these other voices. But I guess, you know, do you have sympathy for them? And was there a part of you in that theater in Aurora that wished you had something that you could reach for to take out this terrible shooter?
In my own personal situation, it wouldn't have made a difference, and I'm pretty confident in saying that for a few reasons, chief among them being the fact that I would have simply been outgunned by the shooter. He had a pretty powerful arsenal. He was clad in body armor. The theater was very dark, filled with smoke. You know, while Hollywood has taught us, and frankly the NRA has taught us, that the only thing that can stop a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun, I really think that people overestimate their own abilities to handle a firearm effectively and to neutralize a threat that bursts into a theater all of a sudden. I understand and I sympathize with people who believe that. And I can see and entertain situations, for example, in your home, where you might be able to defend yourselves. But in these mass shooting situations, in the majority of these violent situations where guns are involved, introducing another one is simply asking for more violence that won't necessarily help the situation, and in many cases doesn't.
Well, you were there. Stephen Barton, a survivor of the mass shooting at the movie theater in Aurora, Colorado, who now works as Outreach and Policy Associate for Mayors Against Illegal Guns. Stephen Barton, thanks so much. Best to you.
Thank you.
And in the coming days, we'll speak to that woman who wished she'd had a gun during a mass shooting. You're listening to Here and Now.